You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
But you can't transplant that because it is your socialization, your environmental upbringing. It is your DNA and a lot of components that make your mind. And God says we need to renew it. Why? So we can start thinking like Christians. When I had to make the transition from boy to man, I had to start thinking like a man. I became a man in boot camp. I wrote home to my brother complaining about what my drill instructors were doing. He wrote me back, and I thought I was going to get some encouraging word from my older brother, and he said, it's tough to be a man when you never had to be. I just tore that up and threw it in the head can, in the GI can. What the heck you telling me? I thought you would say, Eric, it's going to be all right. No, it's tough to be a man. Just one sentence. It's tough to be a man when you never had to be. What the heck? I could have heard that from one of these fools down here. But he was right. Living at home when mom and dad are doing everything for you, you don't sharpen your man skills. But now when you're confronted with survival and made to do things that you don't want to do, which is really the minor definition of a man. In order to get the result, you may have to do things you don't want to do. Like the men who served on those trains during the civil rights days and had to serve racist sandwiches to feed their families. And you younger guys today, I ain't doing that for nobody. I ain't no fool. And that's why you're unemployed. Because you think being a man is fighting against everything, challenging everything. Paul said anything that violates your thinking about God ought to be removed. The psalmist says that I've hidden your word in my mind so I don't sin against you. And every time I proceed to walk into sinful behavior, the scripture that is hidden in my mind comes up. When I want to react and hurt someone who has hurt me, the scripture comes up and says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And Paul says that I need to change how I think. I need to go from a carnal mind to a spirit mind. Stop blaming everybody else for your problem.
Nobody don't help me. I'm by myself, and nobody ain't doing nothing for me, and I had surgery, and nobody cares. And nobody from the church visited me.
Since the Bible says you reap what you sow, did you ever visit anybody? The enemy gets up and whispers in our ear. Paul says, take the shield of faith. Secondly, in Ephesians, the helmet of salvation. Why a helmet? To guard your thoughts. The metaphorical use of the helmet keeps those nasty thoughts from coming in. And then keeps those ungodly thoughts from coming out. You can't fill your mind with junk and then expect spiritual truth to come out. Then he says, pray always. And that goes along with the other two. If I have no faith, my prayer is just going to be, oh, Lord, give me. I want, I need. In our minds, we've made God responsible for everything. There must be something wrong with me. I don't ask God for stuff. Because I believe he gave me a mind and ability, and I don't need to ask God for stuff. What's the point? Jesus tried to convince us in Matthew's gospel. He said, listen, your father knows what you need, and he's going to give it to you. Now, based on my pragmatic way of thinking, if God knows what I need and I don't have it, I don't need it. So how am I going to get him to give me what I don't need? Keep praying. I don't know what I need. I don't know what I need, but God does. And he has promised to give me what I need. Now my mind has to settle. This is what God wants me to have. Now, I know someone is thinking, does that mean I shouldn't have any ambition? No. That's what you ask. Father, should I do so and so? When I sat at my desk and I said, Lord, I'd like to go back to school. I want a degree in systematic theology so that when I move from the pastoring scene, I can teach at a seminary. And so I thought he'd allow me to go back and get a doctorate in systematic theology because that's what I wanted. And the Bible says, ask him. So I asked him. He said, no. He said, I want you to go back to school, but I want you to take psychology. I said, God, I don't like that. I said, I'm a pastor. I want theology, systematic theology. He never repeats anything to me. Those of you that God repeats stuff to, I envy you. He just tells me. And I said, all right, what should I do? And he told me to start at the beginning. And when I completed the undergrad, I said, okay, am I done? He said, no. Now I want you to become a forensic psychologist. I said, what? I didn't even know what that was. The only thing I knew about forensic was when I watched Quincy on TV. I didn't even know there was something called that. He said, that's what I want you to do. And I thought, okay. You ask, and I told you. Now do it. And I did. And I just completed the master's part of it. And then in September, Lord willing, I start the doctorate. Now understand, when the Lord speaks to you, he directs you. See, I didn't labor the point. Just tell me what you want. Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do this. He said, no, do that. Okay, fine. I'm all right. And when the Lord's in something, it prospers. I graduated in the top 1% of my class because the Lord was in it. In undergrad and grad, with honors, because the Lord directed me. This is what God does when you have a single mind. See, all I did was say, Lord, I'd like to go back to school, and I left it with him. If he had said no, it would have been all right with me, but I just wanted direction. That's what you pray, direction. My lease expires on my car in September of this year. I'm not going to God in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me get that new car. No, I know I need a credit score of a certain number. I'm way above the number that I need. You know what's going to happen? When they send me a notice saying that your lease is expiring in 3 months and you can come in and get so and so and so and so, I'll just go and look around and get what I like. Because I used God's gifts to prepare. Not to have him bail me out. You don't go to God with a 400 credit score and say, help me get financing. Because in our minds, we've been taught that all God does is bail us out of trouble. How do you convince God you're broke when you call him on an iPhone? Lord, I can't give him my tithes. Let me see if I can pull up this Bible. And you got an iPhone 10. How do you tell God? Let me go on. The helmet of salvation was to protect the head and the mind of the soldier, so to speak. He's aware of that weight there. You and I ought to be aware of the word of God in our minds. Thy word have I hid in my mind that I don't sin against you. What's he saying? I am consciously aware of the weight of the word of God. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I swore that my daughter will never have to hang her head when someone says, you're Eric Lambert's daughter. I swore that my daughter will never find a brother or sister by accident. I never wanted her to be ashamed of her dad. And so in my mind, I will walk in integrity. And that mental consent causes my body to go along. And I am aware of what's on my mind. I will not blaspheme my family. Like the helmet of salvation, it is ever before me. I will not cause my church to ever be ashamed of their pastor. I'll not be on a magazine cover for immoral acts. I might be on there for punching somebody. But then y'all just take up a collection and get me out. But you can make up in your mind that there are certain things you just are not going to do. And it becomes a helmet. I'm just not doing it. There's nothing wrong with that. And somebody going, that pastor don't ever say what you ain't going to do. Don't you ever tell me what not to say. I didn't say I was perfect. That's why you work hard at it. In 31 years of pastoring, I have never counseled a woman without a table or a desk between us. I have never touched them above the hand. I don't kiss. I don't hug. Because like the Bible says, I don't want my good evil spoken of. And I refuse to allow the body to have its way when the mind can say absolutely not. I'll not counsel and sit with you when I'm in that office by myself. If you can't see me when the staff is there, you can't see me. Now, if you want to Skype me, I'll Skype you. I'll sit at my computer and talk to you at 9 o'clock at night. Because all I can do is flip it off when things ain't right. But this is what the Bible means when it says renew the mind. You don't have to be what the culture says you're supposed to be. You, the Bible says you're victorious. You're a winner. You're on top. Deuteronomy 28 says you're to have the ability to lend and not to have to borrow. You're supposed to be the head and not the tail. You are more than a conqueror. You are well. You are not sick. You are not defeated. You are God's best. You are supposed to walk in powerful places. You are seated in heavenly places. You are filled with the presence of God. There are angels supporting you. The word of God keeps you. The spirit of God walks with you. And the saints are praying for you. How do you lose? Just have patience with me. I want to go over one passage of scripture to show you the conflict between the fleshly mind and the spiritual mind. Go to Matthew chapter 14 real quick, and we're going to end with this, and we'll pick up on it next week. Next week, we're going to pick up on this same passage and really explore it, but I'm just going to give you a little bit right now. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking out on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, who's telling this? Matthew. So it had to be true, because out of the mouths of two or more, something is established. So Peter's walking and Matthew's seeing it. When Peter got out of the ship, that's the spirit mind that is subjected to the law of God, that obeys what God says to do. And all Jesus said to that spiritual mind was come. The spirit mind doesn't need a whole lot of instruction. It just needs a word. Come. Lazarus got out of the grave on two words, come forth. The identification of Lazarus was just so everybody else didn't come out the grave. Because if Jesus had just stood there and said, come forth, everybody would have got up. Even the person who didn't want their spouse to get up had a new person and saw, oh, my goodness, there goes my spouse. Oh, glory. You're standing there with your new boo, and here come your old boo. Now you've got a boo-boo. And so he said, come. And Peter walked on the water. Why? Because the spirit mind says, if God said it, I can do it. Now watch what the devil does. He appeals to the fleshly mind. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus asks him a question that I'm going to rephrase. Jesus said, why did you allow your fleshly mind to get in the way of the move of God? Because that's all doubt is. Doubt is your fleshly mind. The part of your mind that says, nobody likes me and I'm on my own. It gets in the way of what God is trying to do. That fleshly mind makes you look at every reason why you're not victorious. Ain't nobody helping me. I'm out here struggling by myself. That's the fleshly mind looking for pity and sympathy. The spirit mind says the Lord is on my side. And I'll not care what man can do to me. I got Jesus in me and I'm more than a conqueror. And this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared to what's about to come out of my life within the next few days. I'm not down, I'm up. My flesh might be down, but my mind is victorious. Hallelujah! I was watching a movie in my house one day, and Sister Lambert and our daughter was there, and they hadn't seen this movie before, and they kind of got, you know, caught up in it. And I had already seen it to the end. And they were looking at it, and they started liking it, and they asked, they committed the carnal sin. They asked me about the movie. I told them everything down to the end. I told them who was going to get killed, who was going to get arrested, how he was going to do it. I felt so good telling them because they asked, because they hadn't seen it. I didn't spoil it for them. I just told them. See, the spirit mind says, I know how this is going to turn out. And your spirit mind will tell you, you are not going to lose. Your spirit mind will say, the doctor said you got cancer, but you're not going to die. Your spirit mind will tell you, you are not going to die. But then you listen to all these other winds, and you listen to all these other waves, and then you pronounce death on yourself. You need to have a mind that says, look, the devil put it on me, but God's taking it off me. And I'm not dying because of this. God didn't bring me this far to let me die to some condition. By his stripes, I am healed. That's what's in my mind. My healing is in my mind, not my condition. Glory! Peter was struggling. James said, double-minded people are unstable in everything. Peter was double-minded. See what happens when you're double-minded? You start out believing God, and then people get in your lives. I call them waves. They get in your life bringing all those doubtful waves, and then you start sinking. Oh, baby, get them out of the way. I don't even want to hear from you. Listen, I don't mean to be rude, but right now I'm fighting for my survival. I don't need you telling me that your aunt or uncle had what I'm diagnosed with and they died with it. No, I'm going to the Bible and I'm going to find somebody that was healed. And all I got to do is find one person and that'll tell me that God is no respecter of persons. And the God that I serve can heal me of whatever condition is in my body. The doctor may tell you that something is not curable, but he doesn't know our God. You don't have to listen to those who don't know our God. God said, by his stripes, I am healed. And in my mind, healing is there. Hey!
All right, we got to stop. We're going to come back to this. See, the enemy got you thinking negatively. Negatively. And it always takes a toll. It's a fiery dart that he throws at your mind. Fiery darts. Throwing them at your mind. Telling you God's not going to do it. Somebody else believed and it didn't work. Listen, what I've discovered about God is he can do the impossible. I'm going to say something to you. And I believe with all my heart that if we can get our minds together, you may have had a body member amputated. If your faith and your mind is strong, you can be sitting in church and God will grow them bad boys back.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Renovation of the Mind,
or the program number,
01319A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.